Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of faith? Father, we give you praise. We're going to be going deep dive into the word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes as a minister of the gospel and a minister of the truth of the word of God, I find myself in this position where sometimes I wish, how can I just capture these people and just help them? Let me give an example. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe your mom or your dad was trying to do something on the phone and you could see the way they were struggling with it? And you just felt like, can I just collect this phone from you and do this thing in 2 seconds? Has happened to you before? Or somebody that maybe is elderly and is not so in touch with some tech-related things, and you see the way they are struggling with it. Or for people who drive, how many of you have taught somebody how to drive before? You've been in this situation where you had to teach someone how to drive. And at some point, you're like, just match accelerator now. You're like, put it, change the gear, go like this. You almost feel like you wish you can enter into the person and drive the car. Who knows that kind of feeling? As a pastor, sometimes when I come to the Garden of Saints, no matter how many there are, even if they are just one or two, as we start praying, even if it's one or three of them, you're like, once we start praying, I just know where they are spiritually. Are you getting me? And I wish I can. As a pastor, you hear some counseling issues. I was talking to a lady and she was just telling me how things are not going for her the way they ought to go. She wishes she could know exactly what to do about this, or what to do about that. And from where I was, I just felt like, that's very simple. That's very simple. I almost felt like, but you have the Holy Ghost. That's very simple. That's very simple. It shouldn't be difficult for you. I felt like, what are you now doing with the Bible? Are you getting me? Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not, can you read with me? For you, making mention of you in my prayers, that what? That the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, I want you to go back to verse 15. So, Paul is talking to the Ephesian church and the church in Ephesus. He's saying, when I heard of your faith in Jesus, that you have expressed your belief, that now I have accepted the gospel of Christ. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, I was sure that you are saved. Then I began to pray for you for the next thing. So, after a child of God is saved, what is the next important thing? We see it in the prayer that Paul made. After a Christian, you know, sometimes you see people, that they're like, I know I believe in Jesus, but I don't know where to start from. Have you seen people like that? I believe in God, I love Jesus, but I don't know where to start from. He's showing you where to start from. Let's go again. It says, after I have your faith in Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers,
that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, I know it's written spirit of wisdom and revelation. And some people think there's a different spirit of wisdom and revelation apart from the Holy Ghost. No. The same Holy Ghost is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Are you with me? So, the better rendering of this verse, like I've taught before some years ago, is he may give unto you wisdom and revelation by the Spirit. Are you with me? It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you wisdom and revelation by the Spirit and the knowledge of Christ. Are you getting this? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I receive wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. Are you seeing that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, has to give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ? And how will this happen? Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That word, being enlightened, is it a past tense, a present tense, or a present continuous tense? It's a present continuous tense. So he's saying that wisdom and revelation is impacted to us the same time that your eyes of understanding is being enlightened. So this is what's happening. He's saying that when you come for a service or a teaching meeting and they are teaching you the word of God and your understanding is being enlightened, it's like your eyes being opened from blindness to seeing. Are you getting this? He says when that is happening in your spirit, God is giving you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Let me give an example. Have you ever been in one of our services and they were teaching about something? And while the service was going on, you felt like you've gotten the answer for something else. You just stood up and knew that, I received something. If this does not happen to you, there is a problem. That's why we have to pray. So you see, Paul was praying about it. That when the teaching is going on, for instance, if you read the book of Acts chapter 14, the Bible says that while Paul was teaching, there was a man who was crippled from birth, and Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. The Bible did not tell us whether he was preaching about healing or not. He just said that as Paul was preaching, this guy had faith to be healed. It means that while the teaching was going on, faith for healing came into him. Are you getting this? Faith for healing came into him. So he's saying that as your eyes of understanding is being enlightened, God will be imparting to your spirit wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. Say amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. For all our brethren that did not come, I know, I understand they want to rest, Salah holiday. Some people, they are going to pursue Salah meat. For our brethren, tell them they should not miss the other sessions. Because see, it takes a lot to make conferences like this hold. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. Not just, it doesn't just cost, apart from financial sacrifices, that's the least of the sacrifices, financial sacrifice. The greater sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices, and I'm going to explain to you. And when I'm saying spiritual sacrifices, I'm not just talking about prayer and fasting and studying. I'm talking about... So, you know that I'm not just a preacher of the gospel. I'm also lead steward to New Breed. Do you know what that implies? It implies that at every point in time, I need to be listening to God to hear what he's saying about New Breed. So, this is what happened. Let me tell you why it says a spiritual sacrifice. On Saturday, I came to teach. I came to preach. And I was going to talk about confession. What I preached on Sunday morning, I was supposed to use it to close on Saturday evening in Abuja. You see how hot the service was. I was, you know, evening session, I like to bring one, something hot from the Spirit. So I planned, I'm coming to teach about the word of faith, confession. God kind of faith, the speaking faith. I climbed the altar and I could not preach. I said, what's the problem? I tried. I was trying to say, okay, round up. I tried. So I bent my head and the Lord was pressing me. It's time to pray. It's time to tarry. So as we're praying, the Lord now said to me, I heard a voice from heaven. I have not heard that kind of experience in a while. The Lord said, he said, today marks the end of this phase. Shout glory. He said, today marks the end of this phase, and now you have to enter a new season to tarry. I said, so what about our conference? He didn't answer me. I said, wait, if I want to go by the exact way that instruction felt, I will not continue the conference. From there, I'm supposed to... I will just go somewhere. Prayer and fasting has started. I know the way the Lord operates. So I said, okay, we'll manage this thing. I tried to preach. I couldn't preach. So we kept on praying and praying. And while, you know how Saturday went, it was powerful. The move of the Spirit, many things began to open up. Then while the program was going on, we're worshiping and praying, and God said, pray for a person that is going through this, that she'll be healed. So I prayed and we rebuked it. And after the service, I was like, what kind of vision is this? My wife called me yesterday. There was a certain pregnant lady that was following that service. And she had been diagnosed of ovarian cyst. And the ovarian cyst was competing with the life of the baby. Are you listening? And that when I made that declaration, she was the one. That immediately, as the service was going on, that thing dried up. On Sunday, they went to the hospital, brought out test results. Ovarian cyst has disappeared. Completely gone. Completely gone. Do you know why I'm saying this? That means when we teach, what if God wanted to do something supernatural and we are calling for a teaching? Is a sacrifice? Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't play with the teaching meetings. In fact, I've noticed that if you play with teaching, Jesus does not take you serious. Jesus will have a personal beef with you. You may not like it, but anybody may tell you something else, but me, I'm telling you, Jesus will have a personal beef with you. If you play with the teaching of the word of God. Okay, yeah. Some of you are wondering, Pastor, what do you mean? Jesus wanted to go and preach somewhere. Then he looked at them, he said to the disciples, I will not give my pearls to swine. And walked away. What kind of statement is that? That when I want to present golden things, he wants to teach. After a while, they came and met him. Why do you talk to them in parables? Seeing they don't understand. He said, their eyes, in seeing they have decided not to see. In hearing, they have decided not to hear. So I decided to preach in parables so that they will continue to remain blinded. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. I thought you would say amen. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. If Jesus knows that the people will not take his teaching serious, he will not intentionally give you space. I'm telling you. Tell our brethren to take the meeting seriously. Especially teaching meetings like this. Because teachings on faith, this kind of teaching, is what you will need for your daily life. Teachings like this. This particular teaching conference we are holding is actually because I want to see faith miracles. The Lord wants to launch us into another level of faith miracles. Faith miracles. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for Pastor prayed. Pastor sent a word. But I want to see faith miracles. Where Pastor, I heard the word. I believed it. I confessed it. I embraced it. And I was meditating on it. And soon, I began to see. Are you getting me? And as I studied preparing for this conference, it dawned on me why some people will stay in the same spot for a long time. It dawned on me. And that's why, no matter how tired I was, I said, God, please, let us finish this. We must finish this conference. I was telling the Lord, Lord, we must finish this conference. I must preach everything. In fact, because of that word that came on Saturday, I was telling Pastor Tolu, are you sure our teaching series for April will still be fit? We have to go and fast and pray again. I'm going to ask Oga, go and ask Baba what it's going to be. Say after me, I am open to the word of God. He says, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, if you study from verse 17, you're going to see three layers of Christian doctrine here. One of them is, okay, that he may give his wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, verse 18. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Say that mean the hope of his calling. Now, what do you mean by the hope of his calling? The hope of his calling is that part of the Christian teaching that emphasizes what God expects you to be because you came into Christ. So, for instance, the Bible says that he redeemed us unto himself to present unto himself a people holy without blemish. The teaching of holiness is under the hope of his calling. He wanted a people who are holy. Are you with me? The teaching of dominion, of walking in his abundance, walking in his prosperity, is under the hope of his calling. Jesus never met anybody that was sick and said, see, this sickness is a blessing from God. I will use sickness to teach you some lectures. There are things you need to learn about life and about God. And it is this sickness that will teach you. Jesus never did that. That means part of the hope of his calling is that when you come into him, sickness will never be an issue. Are you getting this? If you follow the teaching series that we have been doing on this Christ Life Conference, one of the verses we opened, they brought a demon-possessed boy to Jesus and said, I brought him to your disciples. The man said, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cast him out. And then Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long will I be with you? He was angry. Now, why are you bringing him to me? Now, means Jesus expected that as at the time he was already on the earth, people should have been walking in his power. Are you getting what I'm saying? He was saying, oh, faithless generation, what's going on? How long will I be with you? Okay, bring him to me. That means he expected that if you believe in me and you follow me, at this stage, you ought to be flowing in the power of God. So, flowing in the power of God, flowing in the working and activation of your faith is part of God's hope of his calling you into Christ. He hopes that you may have come into Christ as a timid girl, a timid broad, or maybe you just came in, not sure about what to do. But by the time you stay in the faith for a while, when you speak, your words carry power. When you pray for something, you receive the answer. Are you with me? That's the hope of his calling. Then there's another one talking about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's talking about the things that God has put inside you. How do you bring out the riches of his inheritance in the saints? That's where your gifts and calling comes into. Every one of you, God has put things inside of you because you are in Christ. The Bible is saying here in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 18, when he talks about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, he's saying that God put his inheritance inside you. Except that the inheritance of God is in me. He says the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know how much he has put inside of you. Because you are in Christ, he wants you to know how much he has put inside of you. And to be able to engage it and bring it out. For instance, he has given you direction in your spirit. That's why some of you got born again and you dreamt of something that will happen 10 years later. So when you get there, God expects that you should be able to bring out divine direction. You pray in the spirit, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he begins to show you, okay, go like this, go like this, go like this. Praise the Lord. And then the final one is talking about the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe. So there is a branch of Christianity called the Department of Power. The Department of Power. The exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe. Well, you see this faith teaching, It has a lot to do with the first and the second. The hope of his calling. That by now, you should know how to use your faith and get things done. Are you getting this? If you can pray in tongues, join me and pray in tongues. Can you give me a little? Zedekete tepelege sheketelia. Ingoraba seteke peleketelia. Hey, kapala tekia pa. Runte kepeletelia. Zabalatam bradege son tekepe. Lindo robo seteketelia. Shada da balakatai. Shada da balakatai. Shada da balakatai. Shada da balakatai. Lindege de debeletelia. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Lord, there is a spirit of wisdom and revelation here. Our eyes are opened to understand what you are saying. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So do we get what I said about the hope of his calling? About the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the sense, and then the exceeding greatness of his power. Hebrews 11 from verse 1. Hebrews 11 from verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. It says, through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Are you following this? In fact, the ways we are responding, read this, read from verse 1 again. 1 to 3, go. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Read on. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So now, let me start from this verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Before I go on, please, if you followed Abuja Christ Life Conference day one, let me see your hand. Day two. Morning session, afternoon session. So he's saying that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What does it mean by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice? What does it mean by that? Is it that faith was a person and faith told him, go and offer that sacrifice? What does it mean? Because if you read the story of Cain and Abel, Cain brought yams, which I don't believe were rotten. I believe they were good yams. He brought yams. But God did not accept his yams or his crops. Abel brought a lamb, and God accepted his lamb. And I've explained before that why God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's sacrifice was not because Cain brought bad crops. I don't think somebody in his natural mind at that time, knowing that you're coming to meet God, will intentionally carry crops that are bad and bring it to God. Are you getting me? Because that's why he was angry. He felt he did what was right. He felt he did the best. Are you getting this? Remember, Cain was angry that why was my own rejected and Abel's own accepted? Because to him, I brought the best of my crops. So why are you rejecting my own? It was because God had ordained that it is through the sacrifice of Christ as a slain lamb. Are you with me? That men will be saved. So, in a picture, God wanted to accept only, or God will only accept the blood of the lamb. Are you getting this? God will only accept the blood of the lamb as propitiation or as the payment for sins, not your own works. So, Cain bringing yams or his crops was a picture of man's own labor, man's own tilling. Are you getting this? Man's own hard work to bring salvation and bring acceptance before God. But Abel's own lamb was us putting faith in Christ as the Lamb of God. Are you getting this? Whose blood will be poured out for our redemption. Now, how did Abel know that? He must have encountered something supernatural. That's what it means by faith. So there was some sort of revelation given to Abel that he knew that, let me bring lambs. So when he says by faith, it means there was a supernatural revelation that Abel received. Even though as at that time, Christ has not yet come, Christ has not yet died, but Abel received a supernatural revelation. Can you say supernatural revelation? You cannot talk about faith without engaging the supernatural. He received the divine revelation that made him take that step. And that was how, by faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice. So, that revelation that Abel received is the substance of things hoped for. Now, listen, the coming of Christ was what we were hoping for. But what Abel received as revelation was the substance of things hoped for. Are you getting this? So Christ has not yet come as the manifestation of that hope, but the revelation was the substance of that hope. Are you getting this? Am I teaching you? That's why he said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the same way, if there is anything you are hoping for, you are hoping that this will happen in your life, you are hoping that you are going to get this, you are hoping that you are going to get that, well, where is your substance? Do you have a divine revelation? Have you gotten a supernatural revelation from God? And I know you may be wondering, but Pastor, I've not gotten any such strange revelation, but I just hope this will happen. Well, if there is no substance, it cannot happen. Okay, so Pastor, where will I get this revelation from? Where will I get this substance of things hoped for? That's why you have the Word of God. The Word of God is the evidence of things not seen. So, you may not have seen God in heaven. You were not there when Christ came to the earth, but you believe what the Word of God says. Holding on to what the Word of God says is the evidence of things you've not seen. Am I explaining this to you? Are you following me? Then it says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So you see, by faith again, what does it mean by faith Enoch was translated? It means by a supernatural encounter, something happened to Enoch. Are you getting this? By supernatural experience, something happened to Enoch. And then Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Praise the Lord. If I should explain again, raise your hand. I should explain again, right? Okay. In essence, what we are saying is that there is a spirit realm. There is a supernatural realm. And you in the natural may not know what's happening there. But God can give you a substance here, an experience here, or a word here, or a revelation here that makes you know that there is something real in the invisible realm. Are you getting this? And it's telling you that if you engage that realm, it will influence what's happening here. It says, Enoch, by faith, was translated. So, by a supernatural encounter, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That means you can encounter God supernaturally and it will affect your life even here right now. Are you following me? He's telling you that this concept of faith is the means by which we engage that supernatural realm and encounter what is supernatural in the natural realm. I know it's looking complex, so let me use the examples I used in Abuja. Thankfully, I'm with Pastor Ennis Kaki. So, if you know that wherever Pastor Ennis goes, he goes with his car, you know that Pastor Henny does not move. Let's assume that he does not move without his car. Are you getting this? You know that our pastor does not move without his car. And then you come to church and you saw the car parked outside, or you came into the church auditorium and saw the car key on the stage, or you saw the car key on this lactin and you did not see Pastor Henny. What will you say? What will you say? Pastor Henny is around. But did you see him? What did you see? His car key. So are you like, where is Pastor Henny? I said, don't worry. Even if you can't see him, he's around. How do you know he's around? He said, I saw the car key. In the same way, God has said something, or you say, I know that this is going to happen. How do you know? Well, has it happened? He said, no, I've not seen it yet, but the word of God has said something. Are you getting this? That word of God that you are holding on to is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You having a supernatural insight into the invisible is you having faith. Are you getting this? I want you to get this point. Embrace it very well. You having an insight into the unseen and holding on to it is you having faith. I gave another example in Abuja. I said, for instance, if Favor, your husband calls you, let's assume he's at the office, and he calls you and says, babe, I don't know what you would call yourself, but let's assume. Or he says, woman on fire. My woman, he says, can you prepare? I'm coming to take you out. And then, all of a sudden, you start dressing up. Maybe you are watching something, you have to put it off, and you start getting ready for the outing. And then maybe your friend comes and sees you and is like, ah, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting ready. My husband called me and told me he's coming to carry me. Then they now start telling you, wait now, let him come first, see him first. You're like, no, he spoke to me on the phone. If you are waiting for him to come for you to see first, that means you do not have faith. If you accepted what he said and acted on it, in spite of the fact that you have not seen him, it is proof that you have faith. Do you understand what I just said? It is proof that you have faith. So, faith is your demonstration to the word of God. When God says something, how do you respond to it in spite of the fact that you have not seen God physically? How do you respond to the word of God? How do you respond to the word of God? That will tell us how much faith you have. If your husband comes and sees you, instead of you dressing up or trying to dress up, he just sees you selecting beans. Say, ah, did I not tell you that I'm coming? By now you should have baited that, or at least start getting ready. He said, I wanted to see you first. That means you don't believe in his word. You don't believe what he's saying. You don't take what he's saying as the substance or the evidence of things not seen. It's not as strong enough to you. So a person is said to have faith when the word of God has become substance to him, that even though he has not yet seen it, he takes the word of God as good as done. Are you with me? And acts on it. Please, is this making sense? Now, I want to emphasize something else that Pastor Wisdom was talking about yesterday. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to emphasize that word substance. Can you say with me substance? Faith is the substance, the substance, the substance. What is a substance? You know, anything that has weight and occupies space. It is tangible. As it were, you can almost feel it. When a person is said to have faith, there must be substance. Now, I know somebody who is thinking deeply may say, but Pastor, I thought you just told us that the word of God is substance. Yes. The word of God is substance. But until that word, which is substance outside you, has become substance inside you, you are not yet to have faith. You cannot be said to have faith. So the word of God can be a substance, but it is in the pages of your Bible. Until that word has become strong in the pages of your heart, it's no longer a substance, but it is now your substance. Are you getting what I'm saying? So for instance, the Bible can say, the Bible has can say or teach about the fact that Christ is the way unto salvation. But until Christ is preached unto you as the way of salvation and is no longer just a fact on the Bible, but is a fact in your heart, you don't have the substance. For instance, the whole world has been paid for by the blood of Christ. Are you with me? The work of Christ has paid for the sins of the whole world. They are all God's property. God has bought them with his blood. But until they receive that message and make it theirs, they will not be saved. Are you seeing how the power of faith works? So, in God's word, you have been healed already. By his stripes, you were healed. Your healing is not something that God is trying to do right now. It is something that God has done on the cross of Calvary many, many years ago. In fact, we can say 2,025 years ago. What God wants to achieve with your life has been something God has already done in the spirit realm. But until it becomes real to your heart and becomes substance in your own heart, you cannot claim to have faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Until the word of God has become substance to you, until the reality of what God is trying to do has become real to you, it is not yet substance to you. Are you getting this? Now, this takes me to another concept. That means, there are many people that are claiming to have faith and don't have faith. There are many people that claim to have faith and don't have faith. Because all the promises of God that we are talking about, to them it is like, if God will do it, let him do it. But there's a level you come to where that word has entered your heart where you know it is done. You are not yet seeing it on the outside, but on your inside it is so strong. It is so... it is so real. You can tell somebody else, this thing is settled. So the problem is, how will the word of God translate from being on the pages of my Bible or from what I'm hearing to becoming substance in my heart? That's where the real journey of faith begins. I'm taking my time to talk about it like this. Please, if you are bored, I strengthen you in the name of Jesus. Don't be bored. Just the same way, there are many people who are coming to church and are not saved because actually they did not have faith. The word did not really enter. That's the same way there are many things people are believing God for. It has not really entered their heart. So it is done in God's realm. In the pages of the Bible, it is done. But it is not yet done in their heart, so it cannot manifest in their life. What I'm saying is a very, very serious thing. I know you may have heard it preached. What I'm saying is a very, very serious thing. Very, very serious. It must become substance to your heart. Anything that will change your life must become substance in your heart. Let me show you something else that will challenge you. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 verse 27. Romans 3 verse 27. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. When I read this verse, please. I know people are waiting for technical crew, but I wish everybody was with their Bibles. Romans 3 verse 27. When you open it, you will see that he's calling the... He's calling faith a law. He's calling faith a law. Do you know what a law is? It means it will always work. If it did not work, there was no faith. He's calling faith a law. If it did not work, there was no faith. Praise the Lord. So faith is a law. And for you to have faith, the word of God or whatever it is, you know, let me tell you something, eh? When it comes to this issue of faith, you know, I've been meditating about it, thinking about it. I've thought it for some years. And even right now, when Bethany is the one, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about the fact that people use faith every day and they don't even know. They use faith every single day. Eh? Good example. Somebody can tell you, in Yoluwa, can you help me order food from Glovo? Those people, they will finish somebody with advertisements. You want to, as you are praying in tongues like this, playing a song on YouTube, make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Jesus, bring me wine. Get your, just do that with Glovo. So this is so, order your food. You're like, of all times to put Glovo. So let's assume you want to order food. You want to get food and you say, okay, I'm going to order from Glovo. And you pick up your app and you start using the app to get the food. After a while, you may have even paid or something. Then you have a receipt or there should be something I can use to track it. And then you have not seen it, but you tell them, don't worry, I have ordered it already and the driver is coming. That thing that you are showing to everybody that, don't worry, the food is coming, that's a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of the food not yet seen. Are you getting me? Some of you, you order things from Jumia. You order things from Konga. And you have an invoice, a receipt that is done. Don't worry. Where is the shoe? Don't worry, I've ordered it. It's coming. But can I ask you something? What if you were trying to order and your data stopped working? The order hangs somewhere. Because the order hanged in a certain place, you cannot really be sure if it is coming to you, right? Many people, in their walk of faith, they have not fully solidified the substance of that order in their heart, and they think it's coming. I'm looking for all the examples in this world to explain this thing to you. They had a problem with the ordering process. They lost internet. The thing did not fully enter. And they said, don't worry, I've ordered it. And then they wait and wait and wait and wonder why it's not coming. Only for them to go and check. Come on. This thing did not go. That means the subject of the word of God becoming substance to you cannot be overemphasized. The subject of getting that substance right in the spirit cannot be overemphasized. Anything you need to do to ensure that what you are expecting from the invisible realm becomes substance to you first, you must take it serious. Are you getting me? You must take it serious. Praise the Lord. And so, my God, Jesus, God will help me today. God will help us finish everything that the Lord wants us to learn in Jesus' name. And this is why you see this, the teaching in Matthew chapter 13. What you see in Matthew 13 is the the spiritual explanation of what goes on in people's hearts and lives. That takes me to something else, which I talked about yesterday a little bit. The spirituality of faith. Tell me the spirituality of faith. The spirituality of faith. And I want to zero in on what I've called the nature of the heart. The nature of the heart. The nature of the heart. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 4. Or let me read from verse 3. I'll be on the one reading. You will read. Everybody read. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, it's not on the screen yet. Thank you, Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of distraction. I rebuke cloudiness in your mind. I rebuke the spirit of distraction. Okay, so let's start with nature of the heart. Or let's start reading first, then I will talk about the nature of the heart, talk about some other things. Matthew 13 from verse 3. Media, what is happening? Should we wait for you or should we expect another? Okay, we should just move on, right? While people are working on it. Don't worry. Well done. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Matthew 13 from verse 3. Choma, please take the mic.
And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance.
When you see a verse like this, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What does that mean? It means that first of all, the one that said he does not have actually has something but despised it. And he's saying that when you despise that one you have, even that which you have will be taken away from you. He says, to him that hath shall be given more abundance. This is talking about spiritual things here. Remember, he's talking about the teaching of the kingdom. Oh my God. He's saying that the person who takes the one that he has been given seriously and declares, I have something, he will be given more. Are you seeing what I was talking about when we say don't miss spiritual meetings? Because the more you say, Lord, I am serious about what you have given me and I want to take it more seriously, God will give you more. A time will come where if a person starts saying, is it not just this meeting? Must I? After a while, you don't know when even that which you have to be taken away from you. And you will think it's God doing the taking away. You will see who is doing the taking away shortly. Continue.
Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy.
Are you seeing that they have come to the point where in seeing they see not? There are some people you'll be explaining to them, they will not understand. You know what's happening? There was a time they were taught before, and because they despised what God was bringing to them before, their hearts had become hardened. It's now more difficult for them to... Are you guys what I'm saying? They were not responding when God was trying to get to them. After the while, they became more hardened. A time now came. This thing I'm explaining to you here is the reason for apostasy in the church. Why some people, it looks like, why are these ones not growing spiritually? This may be the reason. Have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, ever learning but not coming to the knowledge of the truth? This is part of the reasons. You know, one of the things that made me to take teaching serious is because right now, as we are going on, as we are teaching, learning right now, so many things are happening in the spirit that people don't know. Every week, as this year 2025 already, the past 3 months that has come and gone, happy new month. The past 3 months that have come and gone, so many things have already happened in the spirit realm. And if you don't teach people, they will end the year and wonder what's going on. Why is this thing like this? They don't know that there are steps you are taking every day that is either moving you forward spiritually or backward spiritually. And after a while, whatever you have become in the invisible realm, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen will now manifest in this place. Are you getting this? Read on.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
Glory. Jump to verse 18.
Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
Now pause. Who are the people that had not and what they had was taken away? They were the people who did not understand, and then the devil came and collected it. Now, what I'm showing you, you know, we've been talking throughout this conference, we're talking about faith, how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. Now, I'm showing you why faith has not come. Why people are not having faith. Is the nature of the heart. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can only know you have faith when faith has become, when the word of God or the things of the Lord or the invisible things have become real to you. Please, are you with me? What I'm saying is for every one of you. There's nobody that is too young for what I'm saying. Because when I began to experience this, and I was 12 years old. I was 12. I read the Bible. One day, I just dropped the Bible on the floor and started crying. I said, God, forgive me. Now, it was not like somebody was preaching to me actively, but by engaging the word of God, the reality of the saving power of the word of God became tangible on my heart as a substance, and it gripped me. Are you getting me? Listen, they heard the word, did not understand, and then the wicked one came and catched away the word. That's why, see, when you see scriptures like, in all that getting, get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. It's not a joke. When you want to build something real in your heart, you have to be like this. I want to get this thing. I want to get this thing. Are you with me? Some of you, they're running around, you're running around. Stop. Go and get something inside. Sometimes, if you check, you may want to check what is there spiritually. You may check that for many years, nothing has entered. Some people, they are still trying to understand it in the service. You know that thing they used to do in the old church, in the old times, where when church closed, they would tell everybody to calm down, sit down first. They would tell everybody to sit down and meditate on what they have learned. Who remembers? Hey. If you grew up in old churches, before you stand up and say, hey, my guy, I'm fine. Because that's how the devil is to collect the word sometimes. Maybe as the sermon is going on, Kai, pastor is talking about when you go back home, you confess. You have made up my Lord, when I go back home today, I'm going to pray in tongues for 30 minutes. I'm going to pray. Then I will now begin to confess the word of God. I will confess all that the Lord has said about me. I will say it. Faith is a speaking spirit. I will say it.
Then after the service, Pastor Henry come. After the service, say, hey, my guy, how far now? This your suit is fresh, oh. Mado, mado. Yes, us, give us one picture. Bah. Give us. Give us one picture. Bah, bah. Bah, bah. Before you know, say, ah! Are you serious, Bukumi? Right? You came to like this, your ring is fresh. Before you know, that decision you made to convert the world, Satan will welcome. Collect it. You will not remember 3 days later. It's true. I said I was going to declare the word. I said, you know what's happening? Everything you heard in that service did not sink. After that moment, are you getting me? And the bad part is if you did not even understand it. read that verse again.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
He says, when you hear the word of the kingdom and you don't understand, that's why, generally, personally speaking, I don't really like when people just walk around in service. Because sometimes you need that stability for God to give you understanding. You need to be there. You know, it's called wisdom and understanding in Christ by the Spirit. Where the Holy Ghost, remember I told you, as the teaching is going on, that's where God imparts to you wisdom and revelation. As the thing is going on, I want to ask a question, but I don't raise your hand. So I will not cry. I remember being in a service, 2007, and the pastor was teaching, explaining how that God said that he sent Jesus to the earth to fulfill his mandate. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. I knew where I was, where it was as though somebody just put that thing into me. Bim! I didn't know when I shouted, Jesus! In the church. As the Father sent me, so sent are you. It dawned on me that I am sent. I am sent. I went to school the next day. I'm talking about not in the evening, no. The next day. Not 1 week later. The next day, somebody who was demon-possessed from the gate, you saw me and fell. Because the word of God was beaming through my face as light. See, I'm talking like this because when we're talking about substance, many people, substance never enter. Many of people have never experienced when the Bible says the entrance of his word giveth light. Has the word of God entered you before and you just thought about, and you, also, you know what? I cannot fear. They ask you to explain. Yeah, I see. Something have entered inside. The entrance of his word. It was in that service the man of God was explaining. He was explaining and he said how that we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. And the Bible says that we shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. That means if Christ is the head of the church, we are his body, and the devil is, we are treading upon the devil with our shoes. That means Satan is under our feet. Do you know what that means? It means even the lowest Christian is more powerful than the strongest devil. Even if the person that says that, oh, I just got born again yesterday. Let's assume it's the toe. Now, in the magic, the devil pass. But the question is, it is true, but has it entered? Do you even understand it? Let's read on.
Yeah.
The next one.
Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, mm-hmm. the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but jarred for a while, For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended.
He is offended. Let's stop there. Let me explain that one. So now, this is another heart posture. All this heart posture is explaining to you why people, substance is not forming in people's hearts. Why they are not getting, the reason why the thing they are trying to order, hanged. Substance is not forming in their hearts. See, anytime you catch yourself almost feeling angry with God, chances are you are in this place. Whenever you are feeling that God has failed me, why God did you not try for me? Like you don't even try, or you're feeling disappointed. When you are feeling disappointed about God, oh God, what's going on in my life? What's happening? This is where the Bible says, so the word of God entered, but he had not root in himself. And then when persecution and tribulation ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Whenever you see yourself being offended about something that you wish it didn't happen the way it ought to happen, it means that your root is threatened. Your root spiritually on that subject has been threatened. Go back to the word. Because if you're not careful, what will happen is that the sun will scorch, like we saw in the earlier part, that when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. After a while, have you not noticed? There is a way a person is offended about God, about spiritual things. After a while, they say, it does not work. We pray. You know, they work. Leave all these things. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. After a while, what is happening is that he does not know that his spiritual life is withering. He's withering. He's going. Soon, they now become just churchgoers. They say, after prayer, it's not prayer. It's not everything God. You should shine your eye too. Because the word of God had not gained root. And it never became substance. And so, Satan will try and find those ones that the thing has not gained root and begin to put tribulation. So, one sign you know that the word of God has entered, but you need to drive it into gain root is the challenge you are facing. If you are at a point in your life and the challenges are looking overwhelming, what is going on? Just know that the devil has seen that the word of God has come, and the word of God that will change your story is there. See, it means your change is not far. So the challenge is coming to ensure that it cuts you off from that flow of life. Let's read it again. Read Matthew 13 from verse 20 to verse 21.
But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it.
Now look at that word, and anon with joy. Especially when you had prayed, you were excited, you even got a word. You were like, glory! 2025 will be my year. You're like, I know this year. Then you now step into the air, and everything bad that will happen is already happening. What that's also proving to you is that year is actually your year. And the word that you got was legit. God has actually signed it that this was where your change will come from. But then the devil knows that the only way we can destroy this thing is don't let it germinate. Don't let that root grow well. Bring all the challenges you can bring to uproot the word of God. Are you seeing that? What the devil is really contending for is the substance. He doesn't want the word of God to really form and become substance in your heart. Remember where we are coming from. Faith is what? Substance. He doesn't want that word to form and gain any substance inside. So he begins to give you challenges. Bye. He begins to bring everything inside. So when challenges are coming, that's the time to go back and begin to put the word of God inside. Go back, begin to water the word of God. You are no food, no money, things are tough, the business is not working, things are not happening. Go back. Ignore all those things, because those things are fruits, not roots. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are not responding to me. It's like the people that are going through this thing, they are here. So let me focus here. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
By and by, he becomes offended. I am showing you why substance does not form in people's hearts, and it looks like faith failed. Sometimes the faith did not even start. The faith, it did not even start. It never became faith. Faith is substance. It was, they were still trying to substantiate before it becomes full substance. It did not form. It just... Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they now wonder why it did not, nothing happened. Nothing will happen because nothing entered. Nothing will come out because nothing was formed. It's called spiritual miscarriage. Spiritual miscarriage. And guess what? This is the same thing that happens even in the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes you are preaching, the thing never really... When the devil says that this one will soon become a dedicated child of God, oh, the way he's going to that new breed like this, hey, this what? Oh yeah, house rent! Bim! As rich as house, the devil will say, uh-huh. So okay, my rent, time have not reached. You say, I know your time have not reached, but I just want to tell you now that my cousin from America is coming and this is the house he wants, he's going to stay. He says, so what are we going to do about it? That means the only way you'll be here, I've added 1 more million to this rent. Hey! Before you know, police will stop you on the road. Hey! Stop that car! Stop there! Park! Then you now forgot to renew your license 2 weeks ago. You see, your license is 2 weeks behind. You say, ah. Come down, you are following us to Ikoyi prison. But before you know, when they say, the first time as a follow-up, call you. Come to church. See, right now, just tell them, see, I can't come. But leave that thing. You say, brother, you are reminded for service. We're going to be talking about spiritual growth, culture. See, my guy, see, I'm not in the mood for these things. See, leave this thing. And what God was trying to do, becomes quenched. Sometimes when the devil cannot do anything dramatic, God, the way this person was just excited about the word of God, you just go home. As you are trying to drink water, you mistakenly hit somewhere, your glass fell and break, your mother will come. You are a very, very stupid child. By the time they shout at you, all the shout at you here and there, the word you got at the conference that you were excited about, you despise the word is burnt away, the sun scourges the word, and then you are square zero. Do you realize that? Have you not ever asked yourself before, why is it that after all these years of preaching the gospel, people go to church again and again? Why is it that sometimes things are not changing? I'm showing you why there are millions and millions of believers who, some of them are not even really saved, because the substance of salvation has not forged in their hearts. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
I'm showing you why some of them, even though they are saved, they are not fully changed. The things that God wants to make manifest in their life is yet to manifest, because whenever the substance wants to get formed, Satan, that's the ones that understood it too, and responded with joy. The first said, you know, understand. Are you getting me? Let me tell you something. Do you know what the word of God is? It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God can change your life. See, do you know what the word of God is? Do you know who God is? To you, you think a Ferrari is a big thing. I'm telling you, the word of God is bigger than all those things put together. You think Lamborghini is anything? You know what the word of God is? The very seeds of God. Ha! When it enters you, a time will come. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, it says, as the rain comes down from heaven and watereth the earth, that it may bring forth and bud, that it will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. That means the word of God is like an assassin that does not come back without results. You know all those bombs that it will be following you? If you like, run anywhere. Those, what is the name they call it? A missile. Directional missiles that will be following the person. He says, My word does not come back until you follow you to fulfill it. The problem is, did the word enter? So, before we say it did not work, did the word even come? So when we say faith is substance, that thing must come in. I can talk about it because I know. When I'm talking about favor, when I'm talking about change, when the word of God changes a man. I read my Bible and prayed to the point where one day, growing up many years ago, one day, I've told you the story before, I was on my way to my place of work, I think my IT, and I was stranded. I said, you know, when you start growing in the word of God, you want to start practicing some things. So I read in the Bible, it was already bubbling in my spirit. If you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. All things are possible to him that believeth. I didn't know when I said, oh God, let a car just carry me. I'm late. I need a car that will carry me. Tell me that the honest truth. I was not expecting a car. But I just said it. But a time comes where you are so mingled with the power of the word of God that even the Bible says, God is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think. Where your thoughts can begin to match your asking. While I was still there, a Prado Jeep parked. And the man did like this. I'm supposed to carry you. Initially, I didn't want to enter. I said, make I not go arrange my kidnap. Say I didn't practice my faith. The man said, don't be scared. Come in. So he started driving me. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going towards Transamada. He said, okay. I will pass that road and stop you wherever you need to stop. This man drove this car with CAC. Chilling, Jesus. My God. Dropped me there. I entered inside the place. I felt like I entered inside the place. I said, yes, all of you. I'm a man of God, though. Did the word of God enter? And let me tell you another problem. Some people, when the word of God enters and changes them to a certain level, they stop. They feel they are now masters, they stop. Nothing is entering again inside their hearts. They are now running with old oil. Stale revelation. Nothing fresh is in their hearts. After a while, it's not working. After that, what's happening? Boy, it worked that time. Go back. Faith is substance. Can you say that? Faith is substance.
Faith is substance.
Substance. It's something forged in your spirit. Hey. You know, can you imagine the kind of conviction that Abraham received? You pack your load, you pack your family, and you left your house. You don't know where you are going to. What kind of conviction? It must be so strong. Are you with me? It was not just guesswork. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a leap on the word. It's a leap on... There is a kind of solidity of conviction that comes. And guess what? What I was trying to show you at the beginning, it will only come by the Spirit. We'll talk about that later this afternoon. And so, as you are reading the word of God, you are engaging. Let's go to the next one. This is the nature of the heart. The heart's nature. I have not finished this heart nature, and time is Jesus. We must finish. We have 3 sessions. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Read the next one.
He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world the deceitfulness of riches choke the word.
He choke.
And he becometh unfruitful.
Read it again.
He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
You see this one, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I wish they can put this in on the screen. I would have shown you something. But do you realize that he did not say that the cares of this world choke the word and the word becometh unfruitful? He said he choked the word and he becometh unfruitful, because the design of the heart is that the word that has formed into your heart is what to be your life. So Anything that chokes the word chokes you. And he becometh unfruitful. Anything that chokes the word of God is choking you. Because the word of God ought to be your nature. See, whatever has become substance inside you is what will play out as your life and destiny. Anything that destroys that, let me tell you something here. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord asked me to tell one of you here, no matter how bad it is, if you can pay attention to the word, you will change your life. Did you hear what I said? No matter how bad it is right now, if you can pay attention to the word, everything will change. Amen?
Amen.
It chokes the word. Sometimes, distractions, wrong thoughts, wrong imaginations. Can we open to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? It says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3. There could be mindsets. Please, are you being blessed?
Yes, sir.
Patterns of thinking. Let me tell you something. If you are here listening to me and you grew up in this agege, you grew up around here, let me tell you something. This is not your bus stop. Yes. One of the things God sent us to Agege to do is to show the young people here that they have a destiny beyond the lifestyle in this place. Because I was praying about it some months ago, and the Lord showed me a vision where we bought a land. We bought a land, and we began to build in this Agege. And then I came, and I saw myself, I am pastor anywhere, in the church office in Agege. And then I saw a crowd of young people coming in, and one of them came into my office in here in our church in that land. And he was looking so tattered in his dresses, and I gave him a suit. And supernaturally, you know the way dreams are, the suit came on him. There was a tie, and I was adjusting the tie. I said, this is how to dress. This is how to dress. You are going somewhere. You are going somewhere. Then I came out from the dream. The Lord said, I'm going to launch the ministry work in Agege into a new phase with a lot of resources, because you are going to train and mentor many of the young people. Then, before that vision cleared out, I saw another land. This was Lekki. So I said, okay, I get the picture. Sometimes the wrong mindset can choke the word. The wrong pattern of thinking can choke the word. The wrong things you have accepted about yourself. Let me tell you, there are many of us, we have to uproot the wrong things from our hearts. We have wrong things in our mind. Some of them, they are as old as 20 years. Some of them, you got them from your parents. Some of them, you got them from the circumstances you faced. They have punctured your heart. You just feel like, maybe I'm not supposed to be among those who will be very great. You know the people that think like this. They are afraid of, they don't really see themselves doing too well. See, if things start happening and things are going well, they are like, ha. This one, everything is working like this. You know some people, when light is, you know, NEPA has done them PTSD. That when they wake up in the morning and there is light from morning to night, they are like, ha. This one, there is NEPA light like this. It's like this week, there will be some plenty blackness. And so their own life is like that. When they say, okay, they got the job. They have paid them well. They're like, when things are happening good, it's like something bad is coming. It's a mindset that has choked the world. In life, we have ups and downs. Why is it not down and up and up? And up and up. But to them, it's up, down, up. Down. It's a mindset. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. I'm trying to show you what can choke the substance of the word. Can you say after me, I am what God says I am. Say it again, I am what God says I am. Not how I feel. Let me tell you something. Can I say this? There are some breakups that you created. And I'm not talking about you particularly. I'm talking about people. As they were starting the relationship, in their mind, they have already pictured it. And so they live with the fear of, let this not break up. They are saying, let this not break up in their mind. But in their mind, this is like the way this thing will be. They are so scared of it, of losing that thing. That's why they lose it. This heart matter. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. Everybody read with me. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Read on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, glory!
Glory!
Go back. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of? So there is a warfare where we pull down strongholds. Guess what the strongholds are? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. So he's telling you that imaginations can be strongholds in your life. Hey. Imaginations. Will I ever get pregnant? You will get pregnant and give birth to your babies. And under this dangerous anointing, you will receive twins.
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to find trouble. Thank God we're having some couples in the house. don't be quick to say it's not for me. Twins are not for me. There's a way you will say it's not for me. I'll just say you will get one galleon and we'll name one galleon. We'll name one Timotheus. Give them one Greek name. Diakonos. Epaphroditus. You know all those New Testament Greek names. Imagine somebody's name Epaphroditus. Mommy, Epacon. Epaphro, what are you doing there? Please, don't name your child that name. Except God reveals it to you personally. Because if you call me by name ceremony, I will laugh first. Praise the Lord.
But what are we seeing there? The strongholds are imaginations, thoughts. High things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So you must learn to cast down those thoughts. Some people, what they call prayer is actually the manifestation of their fears. God, let this not happen. No. Let this not happen. No. God, let this not happen. No. Because in their mind, it's like it has happened. Are you seeing this? In their heart, it has happened. Let it not happen. No. That's not how to change it, though. That's not how to change it. You start changing it with, you start telling yourself, you know, for instance, let me give you an instance. If, for instance, as Pastor David, a thought can come into my mind. I say, David, the way you are going, when will this church ever be 1,000? No. Are you sure? I will so crush that thought. Before the Lord comes, New Breed will be at the forefront of the gospel globally. I will tell you whether you say amen or not. If you like, don't shout amen. You'll be at the door. You'll be carrying seats for the overflow people. Are you getting me? There is a way I will have that mindset. That mindset will even condition me the way I preach. Are you seeing how people are limited in life? It now begins to influence the way I act.
We are just managing.
No, I'm not managing. I am thriving. Are you getting me? From today, I ban and destroy Singles Association of New Breed in Jesus' name. All those things say, you know, we are, you know, we are staunch singles. We are the single, and you want to marry, yo. You want to marry, and you have accepted in your heart. Maybe we are no. Before you know, you will now put your Instagram account on private. You see, your mind, your heart state is influencing the kind of things you are doing. They say, oh, come, can you meet my friend? No, I'm busy. Your heart is making you, are you with me? The condition of your heart, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against God. Things that choke the word of God in your heart. Praise the Lord. There are some of you here, like, will I ever go to school? Listen, you will get a PhD. You have to accept it. Can I tell you something? This is one of the reasons why some people struggle with addictions. Because in their mind, they see themselves like, I cannot defeat this thing. I cannot defeat it. Some of them, they have never committed that sin before. They may never have fallen into sexual immorality before. But in their mind, they are like, this thing is too strong for me. This thing is too strong for me. The way I'm going to fall. And you know what is happening? The way their heart has been positioned, eventually it will create a scenario. They have used their faith to bring the temptation. The same way you used your faith to bring the testimony, they used their faith. The condition of their heart created the situation and they now fail. And after a while, they feel like they are tied down there. They are tied down because they are established in their heart already. This is who I am. I know I will fall for this thing. I will just fall for this thing. And eventually, when the opportunity comes, they don't have the resistance to push it away. Because their heart has embraced it. Their heart has accepted it. And so, if the word of God will be formed in your heart and create substance, you must have to begin to tell yourself, I uproot these things in the name of Jesus. You know, let me tell you something. I think I can say it now. I'm married. I have a child. There was a time where I had a fear. Growing up as a young teenager, I had a fear that, Kai, the way I'm going, I may give somebody belly before. The way I'm going, I may get a girl pregnant. It was a very strong fear. So strong. One day, I said, the way I'm even accepting this thing, it will happen, no? I began to hear the word of God. I said, I will start declaring to myself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because I am trying to weed my heart. Let me show you something. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 4 from verse 24. See, you need to write this down. In mastering faith, you must understand that the heart is a planting ground. And whatever is successfully planted in your heart will grow up into your life. In mastering faith, you must understand that your heart is a planting ground. Whatever is successfully planted into your heart will grow up into your life. Are you with me? For those who are parents here, stop picturing your child being stranded. I wish I could talk about imagination because imagination is one of the ways, as we saw right now, casting down what? Imaginations. That child, see yourself train that child in school without stress. Can you say after me, it's done? It's done. One of the ways parents make life hard for their children is by telling them their struggles. There are some families, they are afraid of the age of 35. Some families are scared of the age of 42. They said, now your uncle died when he was 42. Let me tell you, one of the ways to stop it in your family is don't talk about it. Instead,
we live long. We live strong. We live long. We live strong. Let me tell you something. See, what I'm talking about, it's a real thing. Who has heard of the man called Frank Damasio? Who, old minister of those days. And he wrote a book about fruitfulness. I think he titled the book, None Shall Be Barren or something. What happened? His wife was pregnant. And they went to the hospital. And the doctor told him that there's a problem and they have to remove the baby. In trying to remove the baby, the doctor said there's also another problem. The way the baby grew, and it was an abnormal growth, it has destroyed her womb. So if this woman will live, they have to remove her womb. Who has ever talked about this story before? They removed her womb, removed everything woman inside her. And he was thinking, how will I tell her? The doctor wanted to tell her, so being a man of faith, he told the doctor, don't tell her anything. Just tell her we lost the baby and we are trusting God for another one. He never told her that her womb was removed. He never told her that her uterus, everything was removed. She will come and complain, I'm not seeing my period. He said, don't worry. Wait, he knows though. He knows the real thing that's going on. Why she's not seeing the period? Nothing they flow, nothing. Nothing woman flow is going on there. But he said, I will not tell her. I will just keep declaring. Every morning, we wake, carry her. Let's declare, we are fruitful. We have our children. We are fruitful. So her heart never embraced the possibility. Are you with me? Guess what that woman took in? After 10 years. So it took 10 years for her heart to accept fruitfulness and embrace it. She took in. It was when she gave birth, they told her. When they told her, she said, hey! By the time they went to check, true, there was no womb. God sustained. See, your heart, that baby was sustained by the reality of her heart. Fruitfulness had entered her heart. That fruitfulness in her heart sustained that child. So when they tell you that faith is the evidence of things not seen, that means even though they could not see a womb, there was a word of faith inside her womb holding the baby. You can read about him, Frank Damasio. And they had other children without a womb. Because when you complete the faith cycle, your faith has moved from big faith to strong faith. Remember what I thought yesterday? Now you can say, I will walk on water again. I will walk on water again. Mark 4, verse 29. The Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Are you seeing this? Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that ye shall more be given. Are you seeing that he was talking about teaching? To him that hears shall more be given. The way you respond to what you are hearing, more will be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. Can we read from this place? Verse 26, 1 to 3, go. So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. So the way your heart will produce the thing you are sowing inside, you will not know how. Just the same way the woman did not know how that baby survived inside her. He's telling you that if the word of God can enter your heart, how the circumstances will begin to play out and manifest what is in your heart, you will not know how. Have you not seen people who say they struggle with sexual immorality? They say, I don't even know what happened though. I don't even know what happened. It was in their heart. So they don't know what happened. Their heart arranged the situation. I don't even know how. But you see, if that thing can be uprooted and righteousness can be put inside, if your testimony can enter your heart first, you will not know how. I was just there at the right place. I just met this person. Before you know what's happened, this person gave you that money. This person gave you the opportunity. Before you know, the business has started. So the question is, what is entering your heart to become substance? Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, when we were declaring about our boss for Port Harcourt Church, we prayed, I started declaring. How that money came? From the place I least expected. From the place we least expected. More than $5,000. And we bought that bus. That was 2023. Now, the people, you know the funny thing? Somebody promised me that time. One big man came like this. And said, Pastor David, I saw that your church needed a bus. The Lord has told me that I should give. We are still waiting for the giving. We are still waiting for that giving today. But you see, if it's in your heart, you will not look at men. Are you with me? When it has been planted inside, are you getting this? See, plant it in your heart that you have clients. Plant it in your heart. See yourself selling properties. See yourself. Sometimes, now, it is this creation of substance in your heart that has given birth to what you can call faith extenders. Confession. Imagination. Sometimes prayer. For instance, every time I go to ShopRite, I see our church property. I see the car park. I say, this is where people will be parking. Yes, this is where the car parks will be. Then that kind of property, that's how Newbridge Church will be. You will see it. You better say amen. No? Yeah. You will see it. I remember when we started and I used to dress for service. Pastor David, the way you wear this suit, you people will think that you are going for national conference. I say, you don't know our services are national conferences. You don't know. That's just the problem. You don't know. I don't carry the mindset that I'm coming to talk to a small church. No new church has ever been a small church. Even when we were two members, it was never a small church. Never. Never, 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 ever. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Read on. Let's finish Mark and we'll just close from there for this morning session. Now, he said, and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed to spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle. That means he takes advantage of the opportunity. Because the harvest is come. Are you seeing this? Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are there. Now, the issues there is not problems. Out of it are the overflow of life, meaning whatever has entered your heart will come out into your life. Let's look at two more verses before it's 12 o'clock. The second session was supposed to start by what time? One. Oh, what is on the poster? 12. But you know we did not start by 8. We started by 9. So the next one will start by 1. Amen. Worry. You see the teachers I'm doing? Eh? Later, you'll be grateful. Let me tell you, on this subject of faith is substance, that's why some people, they never understand waiting you don't teach. Service has ended. By the grace of God, if not that, you know, people keep tagging me on all those videos. That's when your pastor says he will close in the next 5 minutes. Then when I say, he won't fail. And I just laugh. I can close the service in 10 minutes. I've done it before. If you have been long enough, there have been services that I've preached 30 minutes and I closed. But I'm trying to get something to enter. Praise the Lord. And very soon we will get there. When we have to run 8 services or 5 services. Amen. What will by force, you will now have to do 30 minutes before you say, before you understand what is happening, stand up and give him praise. Eh? We may do that for regular services, but we must have a long teaching. So I may call Bible Illumina. Even if we are 500,000, we will have a big gigantic hall. Then when I'm writing on the board, a mighty LED screen as big as this building. We'll be showing what, because people need to listen to this stuff. This is Jesus. So. Jesus taught 5,000. We are the ones that are trying to be nice. Jesus took more than 15,000 to the wilderness and was teaching them for 3 days. They were hungry. That means they were fasting for 3 days. That's what he said. Kept them there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we said Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? Look at Genesis 2, verse 15. The Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So that means Eden was like a picture of the heart. And if you allow the devil come in and begin to talk to your better half, you will begin to lose your ground. Are you getting this? To dress the garden meant to cut off and uproot whatever is not consistent with what you are cultivating. And to keep the garden is to mount guards. Remember that scripture? While men slept, an enemy came and sold tares. So you have to be conscious of it. And this is where we'll close. You have to be conscious of what is being formed in my heart at every point in time. Is faith being formed? Or is it doubt that's being formed? When you listen to the news and you suddenly start getting scared of Nigeria, will I be able to make it in this country? What is always forming in your heart? I want to put it to you, anything you want to see in your nearest future, begin to put it in your heart. As a principle that has worked for me and this ministry, anything we are trusting God for, I will put it as a picture in my phone. If you check my phone now, my tab, you will see pictures of tents, land. It's just there. I just want to keep on seeing it. Are you getting me? If you know how many times I've pictured us moving out of this place, people are carrying speakers. I can see it. How Chike will carry the keyboard. How much should we carry laptops? I keep seeing it. Then I see us going to that place, doing an opening ground ceremony, a groundbreaking ceremony. You see, you have to picture it. You want to get married? Start picturing it. Let it sink into your heart. Don't say, I will not go for a wedding, because I will not go there. And I'll be saying, oh God, am I a spoon? No, go for the wedding. And as when they are talking, the pastor is saying, will you take, be telling yourself, I take my guy as. If it's a brother too, I take. Can I shock you? I did it. Because there was a time, I've shared this story before, where it looked like my own marital destiny was under attack. For many reasons. My pocket was very wonderful. Let me not talk about that here, but there was a time where it looked like, it's not possible, though. The way it's going like this. Just plan to be the next Apostle Paul. Then, if you open my laptop, you will see pictures of families. Like now, I'm fitting to God and my next child is a boy. I've picking pictures of how my boy will look. I've already started practicing that me and him will not suit. We wear suits together. Then we both tie. And every service, we will pose. People are laughing. It will happen. And that person that is trying to say twins, I don't know what to say to you. Jump on your feet. Shout out to me, I will guard my heart with all diligence. That only the word of God. Some of you are not talking. Say after me, I will guard my heart with all diligence. That only the word of God would become substance in there. That only the word of God will become substance in my heart. Begin to declare to yourself, I guard my heart with all diligence that only the word of God becomes substance in my heart. Only the word of God will become substance in my heart. Only the word of God will become substance in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Only the word of God becomes substance. It's a faith conference. You can pray in the spirit. Only the word of God becomes substance in my heart. Anyone who is struggling, stop seeing yourself struggling. See yourself in victory. See yourself in victory. See yourself carrying your children. See yourself carrying your children. See yourself getting married. See yourself getting that new job. See yourself. Some of you need to begin to declare. Say to me, I am more than a conqueror. I am what God says I am. I cannot be defeated. I always have the victory. And by the wisdom of God, I keep my heart with all diligence. Only the word of God becomes substance to me. Only the word of God becomes real to me. Glory! See you in the afternoon by 1 o'clock. Let's talk about the speaking faith. Amen.